Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
We've got good news. The world is open again, and people like you, people of faith, are traveling to Catholic sites around the world. Want to travel with exceptional Catholic leaders this fall, next year, or in the future? Are you looking to see specific sites, celebrate traditional Latin Mass, or travel to destinations without vaccine requirements? We are here to help you deepen your faith on pilgrimage. Give us a call at 1-800-842-4842 or visit us online at selectinternationaltours.com. Select International Tours is your pilgrimage company, and we have the perfect Catholic trip for you.
Are you looking to serve God and society? Consider putting your gifts to work as a lawyer. Ave Maria School of Law has been educating faith-filled lawyers for over 20 years. Ave Maria School of Law is committed to training lawyers to use law appropriately around the moral issues of our time. Visit avemarialaw.edu to learn more about integrating your faith with a law degree.
Today, I am here to give you the assurance that I have not forgotten you.
If we want to see the new evangelization become more than just jargon, if we want to see it grow legs and gain traction and change the world, we have got to take seriously our responsibilities as husbands and fathers, and especially as sons of God.
I want to propose to you then that something that our world is desperately in need of in the midst of this crisis is Catholic Christian masculinity.
If you want to be a good father, then bring your children to confession with you.
I can't get there unless I become a man of ascesis, a man of asceticism, a man of training.
A man not doing penance, a man not disciplined, is not a man.
You guys have upped your game.
You know what, guys, I gotta say, I love this the concept of Man Show.
Warning. The Catholic Man Show is about to begin.
It's worth a shot.
Welcome to the Catholic Man Show. We're on the Lord's team, the winning side, so raise your glass. Adam and Ann here, sitting in studio with David Niles, Juan on the buttons.
Just doing some carpet cleaning.
Well, yes, that's exactly right.
Whiskey cleans carpets, right?
Alcohol definitely disinfects.
Yeah.
So, you can deduce...
Might it be a stain...
remover?
Maybe.
Or a stain remover.
Well, it might cause a stain, but it'll be a clean stain.
But it'll be a disinfected stain.
A disinfected stain. Stain, anyway, yeah. For
and I was trying to fade while you were doing it.
Yeah, I know.
Same time. Bad idea.
Dave was pouring a glass of whiskey for
Juan. Was like holding it out without looking, and he didn't know that I was about to pour. It was just a bad situation.
It was a bad idea.
You know, you live and you learn. They're just, it's like, lesson learned.
We've done it before.
Now we know.
Yeah.
Don't do the blind pour.
Prudence.
Yeah.
Prudence in action right there.
You should know. If it's called blind pour, like, blind people are probably not very good at pouring.
Not.
You know what? I say that, but actually they're probably just fine at it. Yeah. You just learn to, you learn to deal.
Adapt.
I was actually thinking today about, like, how would you shave if you were blind?
You just feel.
Right. Obviously. Like, yeah. You feel. And I was like, I'll bet there's a YouTube video. Some like someone showing how to shave when you're blind,
and then so all the blind people.
Then I was
watch
thinking
it?
Like, then I was thinking like, no, obviously not for the blind people to watch. And then I was thinking like, man, that would be really hard to run a YouTube channel if you were blind. Anyway, went down a whole train of thought.
Man, your thought process is so unique.
Possibly.
Yes. Okay, so this evening we are drinking Johnny Walker High Rye blended Scotch whiskey. I have not had this before. Have you had the High Rye?
No. To be honest, have not had a whole lot of Johnny Walkers. I've had the black and the green.
Mm-hmm.
That's
and
all that
and
I...
the red.
Oh, and the red.
Mm-hmm. And but you've had the double black.
But I don't... what I'm saying is that I don't drink them very often. I don't know them, you know.
You're not acquainted with them very well.
Not really. And I know that
I've never
a
had
lot
the blue.
Of, and that they're good, you know, like...
I've never had the blue. I would like to try the blue.
Isn't that one like $200...
Like $300, yeah.
Yeah, it's like ridiculous.
But I don't want to
spend $300 right. on a Johnny Walker. But so the nose says it's sweet wood, spice, fresh cut fruit, and creamy vanilla.
Okay.
The taste is green apple, rich toffee, and dried clove. Mm. And the finish is that dry rye spice.
The aroma is very nice. It doesn't smell like a rye, necessarily.
Hmm. We're on the Lord's team?
The winning side.
So raise your glass.
Cheers to Jesus.
Cheers.
To me, it smells kind of like a bourbon.
Well, yeah.
That would make sense. A rye, yeah, but...
With it being a rye.
Yeah. But it's a scotch, right?
Yeah, I mean...
do they make rye scotch? Can a scotch be rye?
Yeah, you can use rye in a scotch.
You can?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Because I don't think about scotch being a rye whiskey. Because I know there's definitions. We should look it up just to be sure.
Wow.
Is it good? Do you like it? Tell me about it.
It is very unique. It was very sweet at the beginning, and then that rye just kicks in, and it's like, wow. Kind of punches you.
Yeah, that is good. It is, yeah, surprisingly sweet at the beginning with a developing finish.
Yeah.
Like it changes.
Slow karate kick.
That's
kind of
cool.
Mouth.
Yeah. I like that. A slow karate kick. Wow.
Yeah.
How much was this?
Oh, I think it was $50.
Nice.
Somewhere around in there. Yeah.
So as long as it's not 100% rye, it can be a scotch.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. There you go.
Thank you. Hey, Dave, what are you reading right now? What book are you reading right now?
Today I was reading Purgatorio.
Oh, you're going through Dante's Purgatorio?
Mm-hmm.
Do you like it as much as you would think you would if you were reading it with a group?
Well, so my approach to it is different.
Okay.
I'm not reading the notes.
Wow.
Okay, so what I'm doing is I'm just reading it, just to read it.
Mm-hmm.
Just to, like, familiarize myself with it.
With the text? And then you go back and reread it again?
Right. And then, like, that way, when I read it again later, with maybe hopefully in a group, I'll be more familiar with it, you know, and, like, can... I had a client who's, like... Wise. I have a wise client.
Mm-hmm. Me?
No.
Oh.
I do think that you do many things that are wise. But I have a client who's truly wise. And that's what he told me to do. It's like whenever he reads a great book,
mm-hmm.
he reads it once with like, don't try to get anything out of it. Just mm-hmm. read it for the pleasure of reading it.
Mm-hmm.
Then you go back and you read it more seriously, you know, where you try to slow down, take it in. But like the first time you read it and just get, you know, what, just for the pleasure of reading it.
Mm-hmm.
And then, and so that's what I'm doing. And so far it's really nice. It's definitely not as, so far.
Edifying?
No. What I mean is Purgatory is not as heavy so far as, I'm only on the fourth canto though.
Oh, okay.
Or fifth canto. So I'm not very far into it. Mm-hmm. So.
Okay.
I'm also not getting, you know, I can't really say yet what it's like, but so far it's not nearly as heavy, not like, you know, doesn't seem anyway like there's such, you know, like depth of symbols and meaning and
probably because you're not reading
also,
notes.
Also, right, it's just going way over my head, just like it would have in Inferno if I had read it by myself. So,
right.
I'm also just really dumb.
There you go.
And that could be it. What are you reading?
Right now, I'm reading Liberalism, A Critique of Its Basic Principles and Various Forms. It's a book that was published in the 19th century by Cardinal Billet.
Yeah, I read some of that. You sent it to me.
Mm-hmm. So I've been reading that, going through that. I've also been reading Leisure, The Basis of Culture. And then reading Pieper's autobiography is another one that I've been reading. And then my spiritual reading that I, you know, that I'm really reading for spirituality is I just keep going back to Francis de Sales. Like he keeps tugging on me, and
he's a rich well.
And I just really like it. I just really like reading him because for me, I mean, he's a very practical writer, you know, so he takes these concepts and just says, and here's how you do them.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that most of the academics in the world don't like that.
Like, would someone just tell me what to do, please?
Right.
And I can,
but
do
I thoroughly like it. So
I'm also reading The Count of Monte Cristo, which is long, but I'm almost done with it. Very, very good. I have a theory, which I've mentioned to you before, that it's The Count of Monte Cristo as a book is like a commentary almost on The Inferno by Dante.
Hmm.
And I think that there's a lot of merit to that theory, especially now that I'm coming almost close to the end.
Yeah.
I developed it about a third of the way into the book, that theory, and it has, I've only been more and more reassured.
Nice.
That is the case. He quotes Dante many times.
Uh-huh.
Far more than any other work. You know, the characters themselves will refer to the Inferno a lot.
Wow. Awesome.
Mm-hmm. In fact, one of the characters is even supposed to be the grandson of one of the people in the Inferno. Yes. Remember when they got to the city of Dis,
mm-hmm.
and they were like those sarcophaguses, and one of the, like, they come up and there's this really proud guy sitting there and talking about, like, oh, you know, he's such a Mr. Big Deal.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's another guy who comes up, is like, oh, is my son still alive? And he misinterprets what Dante says to him, and he thinks his son is dead.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
It's that guy. It's his grandson is in the book.
Wow.
It's actually not his grandson, but he's pretending to be his grandson. So.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice commentary.
Thank you.
Yeah.
That's what's happening. Yeah. It's fantastic.
Yeah.
Super good.
How's Lady Pamela? She's getting close to giving birth.
Mm-hmm. She's just doing she's doing wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like, yeah, for being pregnant.
You guys went even to a baseball game recently?
We did. Yeah, that was really great. Mentioned that on the last episode, how
mm-hmm.
if you have not been to Tulsa Drillers game and you're in the area, like, bring the family. Doesn't cost very much. Go to a game on Tuesday, $2 Tuesdays. $2 for all tickets and concessions.
Nice.
So
it's a win.
That is a win, because otherwise you can spend a lot of money on concessions.
Right. Yeah, yeah. Definitely.
So $2 Tuesdays, that seems like where it's at.
The our pilgrimage is about to close. We're about to close down the pilgrimage sign-ups. So if you mm-hmm. have not signed up, you've been thinking about joining us, make sure to go to thecatholicmanshow.com.
Make haste.
Yes, be very quick about it, because
come with us.
We are about to shut down the signups.
Mm-hmm.
So going in September.
Lock it in.
Really looking forward to going. This is gonna be a blast.
Oh yeah.
So doing it with Father Deshaun Donovan. Go check out the Winged Hussar episode. We also did two episodes with him on
Ireland.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Irish Saints.
So go check that out on thecatholicmanshow.com. You can find all things Catholic, including our new book that's coming out by Ascension Press.
Woo!
We'll be right back. Hey guys, as most of you know, we're going on a Catholic Man Show pilgrimage this year in September to Ireland with Father Sean Donovan as our chaplain, celebrating the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass every single day. We're going to go to Our Lady of Knock Shrine. We're going to go to the best local pubs in Ireland. We're also going to go on some private distillery tours that only our pilgrimage is going to get to go on, only the people who are going with us. The due date to sign up is in just a few days. July 15th is the last day to sign up, and we have just a few spots left, and we want you to come with us. Join us on a trip of a lifetime to Ireland. We go to holy sites. We try the best beer and the best whiskey in Ireland all together. It's going to be a blast. Join us. Go to thecatholicmanshow.com to find out more information.
Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. I'm David Niles, here with Adam Minahan. We're drinking some Johnny Walker High Rye. Really good. And if you're one, if you're someone who doesn't really like rye, I think you would still like this one. Because it is...
a little sweet.
It's not... It's not... When you know,
it's not
rye
like
whistle, has,
it's not like whistle pig right, rye.
Rye has a very distinct, pungent mm-hmm. Flavor.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a lot more mellow, sweeter.
Mm-hmm.
More bourbon-y, even though it's a scotch.
Correct.
So I like it. It's good.
Yeah, I do too. So tonight we're going to... I just have like a series of questions that I want to talk to you about. They're weird questions.
Okay.
Are
you also going to answer these questions?
Sure. Yeah, I can answer some of them if you want me to. Or I don't know what my answers will be.
I think it's only right and just that
You want me to as well? Okay, that's fine.
Yeah.
So I was in prayer this morning, and I was going to do a topic on marriage, and I just, like, it didn't all come together. Like, I just wasn't feeling it. Uh-huh. And I kept going back to just not understanding exactly what he was wanting me to say about it, and I felt like I was trying to force some things, and so I was like, no, okay, that's fine. We won't do that one yet. Maybe it's not time. Mm-hmm. And so mm-hmm. I said, like, I'll just ask you some weird questions. Like, you like to be asked weird questions, and so we'll just see how that goes.
I'm not afraid of being asked questions.
Yeah.
Because I have opinions, bro.
I know you do. So here's one that I have for you I'm curious about.
Okay.
And this is completely hypothetical. Or
I like hypothetical questions even more.
Yeah, because you can't be wrong.
If it's speculative hypothetical theology,
yeah,
that's where I really shine.
That's where you shine.
Oh, man. Oh, baby.
So I'm curious, like, what would you want, like, Jesus to do when he was in between 12 years old and 29, when we don't have anything recorded about him? Like, what is
something that I really hope he did?
Yeah. What do you hope that he did?
Oh, like, what do I hope he did? I think there'd be, like, a lot of things that I would enjoy if he had done. I have wondered what he was like as a kid. I think everybody has.
Mm-hmm.
You know, did he have to, did he ever get in trouble? You know, did he have to learn to obey as a child?
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a lot of unanswered questions about him being fully man and, you know, like, and fully God. He's obviously fully God. That's not the part I have questions about. It's the fully man part. You know, did he have to learn to obey? Did he have to be disciplined?
Mm-hmm.
The way every other person on the planet does, mm-hmm. in order to figure out the whole obedience thing. I tend to think probably not. He probably didn't.
Yeah, I think Aquinas actually answers this question.
Yeah, but how does he know? Well, of course, yeah. He probably thought about it real long time and came up with the right answer, you know.
Right.
But it could be either way. The church doesn't say definitively.
Right.
You know, if Aquinas lends his hand on one side or the other, it's like, okay, well, that should be strongly considered. But I would think it would be funny if he was, like, using magic to, like, do really awesome practical jokes on people. You know? Just think he'd be a really funny friend.
Yeah. That's one thing I would...
wild teenage years.
That's what I would... Yeah, wild teenage years. That's one thing I would like to know is what was his friendships like, you know, growing up? You know, did he... You know, go out camping, or, you know, stay out with his buddies all night long, you mm-hmm. know, and hang out. And
undefeated at rock, paper, scissors.
Undefeated. Napalm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would like
to... It's like he knows if I'm going to throw rock or scissors. He just knows.
I would like to know. I think that'd be cool to know, like, what his friends were like.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
That's one thing I would
like to know. There's that scene in The Passion of the Christ when... Does he find a dead bird or something? Or maybe I'm getting that confused. No, I'm getting that confused. There's another movie about Jesus.
The Chosen?
I haven't seen The Chosen.
Mm.
I know.
I haven't either. I know, me either.
It's a good thing it's a good thing nobody here has seen it. Otherwise, we'd be reproached.
You've seen all of them?
I'm using mercy, not giving you any snares.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Because I understand from everybody else who's told me, oh, you have to watch it. I know.
I tried. I watched the first episode, and I was like,
no.
It wasn't good.
No, that's what everybody
and
says.
And they say, you have to get to the next one.
You have to get through the first episode. Yeah, the first one is weird, but then, you know. And rule of thumb, any show, you got to give it 3 episodes.
I agree.
Just to be fair.
I agree. I just haven't. I haven't been fair to it.
Right. I kind of have a no-show policy. The Chosen I would make an exception for.
Mm-hmm.
But when I start watching a show, all I want to do... Every day.
Just binge that show.
It's like, watch the next episode, right?
Right.
And I get a little rambunctious and overboard. It's like, put the kids down!
We gotta get 3 episodes in tonight!
Forget the dishes! We gotta watch a show! You know?
Yeah.
And so it's just, and even if the show is like, lame,
I
get into it, right? And so it's just better if I don't watch shows.
Mm-hmm.
Movies... can be, you know, over and done. You know what I don't like? It's pausing a movie halfway, so we'll finish it tomorrow. That does not sit well with me, as you can imagine.
See, I'm the exact opposite.
Yeah, I don't understand people like you who say, like, who won't go see a movie because it's, you know, 2.5 hours long. Like, oh, I don't want to have to sit there. It's like, well, you don't. What do you mean? It's awesome. Typically, when the movie's over, I'm going, dang it. It's over.
Yeah.
That was awesome. I wish that ride was still going, you know?
Yeah.
I just like it.
So here's another question for you.
Okay.
What's the most embarrassing thing that has happened to you at Holy Mass?
Well, I have a couple things. One time in like fourth grade, I don't really remember. I told my teacher I didn't feel well. And she told me to just go sit down. Like I think any teacher would.
Mm-hmm.
The thing about when kids tell you that they don't feel well, it's either totally made up or you have about 10 seconds until they throw up.
Yeah.
One or the other.
Right.
And in this case, it was the latter.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I actually came back again and said, I don't feel well. And I think she could tell at this point, like,
oh, he,
that boy does not feel well.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is in the school mass at All Saints Catholic School. Every Friday we had mass.
Mm-hmm.
This is in mass with the whole school.
Mm, you threw
and
up in mass.
And so we were walking down the aisle and just blew chunks.
Oh, that's
all
terrible.
In mass. I don't know what they did. Because I got out of there.
Right.
I mean, I didn't clean it up. I imagine it's like somebody just had to go clean it up. Because you're not going to stop mass, right? I'm glad I didn't have to be in the area. You know what I mean? But so that was pretty embarrassing. But then also one time I fell asleep in mass. Father Desmond was the associate pastor at the time. And he actually stopped his homily and said, oh, David, you fell asleep. You're sleeping. And he like woke me up
in the middle of a homily.
Yeah. And he asked me a question and I didn't like, I just was waking up and
he knew he had asked you a question, yeah, but you didn't know what it was.
Yeah. Like, and so I just kind of looked around at everybody and like raised my hands like, come on, everybody, answer his question. And they laughed and he moved on and it was very embarrassing. What about you?
I don't know. I think, you know, when I was a kid, I really enjoyed altar serving, being an altar boy. And so I was one of those, like, if I was going to mass, I was checking to see if I could altar serve.
Yeah.
And, you know, I altar served midnight mass and I just could not stay awake. And just, there's my head, you know, neck was just sitting there breaking and breaking, right, and breaking. And I think that the priest one time just went and got the book himself, you know, when he said, let us pray, because I think I like was, let's see, and I kind of like woke up. And
I mean, that's probably a fairly common occurrence
during midnight
when you
mass.
Have kids at midnight mass. Yeah.
Yeah. Just could not stay awake.
Right. I've usually been asleep for like 4 hours already.
Right. You know? Yeah. So that's probably one that was pretty rough, but I was a little kid. So you get a pass. I mean, you always get a pass. You're a little kid.
One time in mass, the kid I was, one of my friends I was with, sitting next to, started having a seizure in the middle of mass. That was pretty crazy.
Mm.
And then one of the moms, who's kind of a heavier lady,
mm-hmm,
in my, this is how I remember it. It maybe wasn't this way, but I seem to remember her like jumping over two pews. It was like amazing. It's like, wow, I did not know she could move.
She's
like
agile.
That was incredible.
Yeah. What's the most what's the homily that has stuck with you for years?
I don't know. Can you answer that while I think about it? Do you have an answer to that question?
Yeah, I do. I mean, there's several that have really stuck out with me. One that really stuck out with me was when I was probably 9 or 10. My dad always took me to Notre Dame to go see a football game. About once every 2 years or so. That was kind of like one of our traditions that we had.
Mm-hmm.
And so we'd always go to different mass. And there's one time this old priest was getting up. He was 70. He's 75. He had just like announced his retirement, I think, in that mass beforehand.
Mm, okay.
And he got up. And so he was reflecting upon his priesthood. And he reflected on the first homily he gave. And he said, like, I thought it'd be good to kind of bookend my priesthood, like active ministry, with kind of the same homily. I was like, okay. We were all like, okay. He said, I got up there and I told everybody, you don't need to listen to me. You need to listen to him. And he pointed to the tabernacle. He said, you guys don't know how to remain silent and listen to him. So for the next 20 minutes, we're going to be remaining silent, and I want you guys to listen to him.
And he went 20 minutes?
And he sat down.
For 20 minutes?
Yeah. Now, that was what his first homily was. So he was telling this story, and we're all like, is he going to go sit down and we're going to be silent for like 20 minutes?
This is going to be a long mass.
This is going to be... and he went and sat down like for like a minute. And then said, I'm just joking. Here's my homily. And like, then they started telling his homily, preaching his homily. I don't remember what this homily is about, but that part I do remember.
It was a great joke in the beginning.
So we're just talking about just funny things that are about Catholic. We'll be right back. More than 60,000 men from around the world have journeyed through Exodus 90 together with their brothers. Priests, bishops, singled men, married men, Catholics, non-Catholics alike. One of the things we love receiving are emails from guys who signed up to do Exodus 90 through the Catholic Command Show and let us know how much freedom they have experienced once they go through the program. And it makes sense, right? Here's how it works. And these are the things that we talk about all the time on the Catholic Man Show, which is why we love promoting Exodus 90. They have three pillars, a pillar of prayer, a pillar of asceticism, and a pillar of fraternity. And through those three pillars, they help men grow closer to Christ, to their spouse, to their children, and to their friends. Closer to that man that God has called them to be. So go check out Exodus 90. They have Exodus 90 Lent as well. It's exodus90.com/TCMS for the Catholic Man Show. TCMS. Thank you to Exodus 90 for being a sponsor of the Catholic Man Show. Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. Sipping on a little bit of Johnny Walker High Rye. Blended Scotch Whiskey. Definitely growing on me.
I've liked it from the beginning. I really do like it.
Yeah.
One thing I do like about drinking rye is it warms you up.
It does warm you up.
Mm-hmm. More than other whiskey.
I agree.
You definitely, like, ooh, that's a good winter beverage.
Or like when it's 104
or
out.
Summer.
Yeah.
Just that way you acclimate.
Right.
Right? That's where, I think that's a thing.
Right. So we're just asking, like, I just have like a list of like just weird questions that I want to ask.
So I did think about... I don't know if this I thought about a talk anyway from a priest. It wasn't a homily per se that really impacted me.
Okay.
It was Father Larry Richards when I was about 10 or 11 at the Oklahoma Catholic Men's Conference.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember him coming. I think it was my first Father Larry experience,
mm-hmm.
which is going to be a memorable thing, you know, because he'll come in and like punch you in the stomach
mm-hmm.
and, you know, like, tell you, you're like, don't cry, be a man. Mm-hmm. You know, I think he said something like, if you can't control yourself, you need to check between your legs because there's nothing there.
Yeah,
you know, or right. something like that. And as an 11-year-old, I was going like, whoa, all right. I guess I'm a man now since I'm at this kind of talk.
Right.
But throughout his talk, he was talking about living a moral life, especially like with regards to chastity. And he made the comment about, you know, if you go and you live a sinful life, one of these days you're going to be lying awake in bed at night trying to figure out why you're not happy when you're getting everything you want. And when that happens to you, I want you to hear my voice saying, I told you so. Okay? And so years later, when I was in college, as you can imagine, I found myself...
What a foreshadowing.
Right. I found myself in that exact situation, yeah. laying awake at night... like unable to sleep because mm-hmm. it was just something was bothering me.
Right.
And out of nowhere, I heard Father Larry Richards' voice say, I told you so.
Mm.
And it was like, oh crap. So it was a very profound moment for me.
Another homily that I remember very vividly was Deacon John Donnelly, may he rest in peace,
mm-hmm.
Gave a homily. He had great homilies.
I loved his homilies.
Yes. And he actually was talking about...
Because he would tell stories, and I would like... I was always so engaged.
He would intertwine like either church history or something like American history or something like that, intertwine that with the gospel and then a call to action. Like he did a really good job of intertwining that basically every homily.
His approach was almost and now you know the rest of the story.
Yeah, Paul Harvey.
Paul Harvey. You know, he would tell this story, and you're not like, you're listening to the story. And then at the end, all of a sudden, like, he hits you with the moral.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, oh, nice.
Yeah. So there's one time he actually, it was on prayer, like the gospel was on prayer, and he walked through how to behave, in, like have mental prayer, like how to engage in mental prayer.
Uh-huh.
And he talked about like the setting that you need to be in, like how mentally like you're approaching Jesus, you know, and like all these things that you do as you're going through mental prayer. And I remember him walking through that, like, and he's being very descriptive and using a lot of imagery throughout. And I remember thinking like, wow, I've never heard somebody talk like this before. Mm-hmm. Like I've never heard somebody approach prayer like this before. I was probably, I don't know, 12, 13, 14, somewhere around there.
Prayer can be more fun than I thought.
Right. And, that was a big impactful moment for me.
Nice.
What's one lesson that that your parents taught you that you really appreciate?
How to be respectful to authority. I know that sounds like a lame answer,
mm-hmm.
But in school, even as a kid, I realized one time I came home and told my mom because we, you know, in your group of friends. You all do something stupid together, right? You all decide to do it. You're all doing it.
I'm the enabler. You're always the one that always does it.
Well,
like when you're in a group of friends, like there's one guy who's who comes up with the idea, then the other guy's the one that's like eggs it on, and then there's one guy that executes the idea.
Like in these situations, we were all throwing rocks, or we were all doing the thing
you started it
that we got in trouble for, right?
Right.
And so there's like this group of four of us in middle school. And the other three would get in trouble, and I wouldn't a lot of times. And I went home and told my mom that. I was like, you know, sometimes my other friends, like, we're all doing something, and they get in trouble, and I don't. And I think it's just because I, like, don't try to get out of it. I just fess, you know, I guess I'm just, like, I just know how to, like, behave or something. And my mom goes, you're welcome. And I said, what? She goes, I taught you how to be respectful. You're welcome. I was like, no kidding. And I thought about it. It's like, yeah, I think you're right, Mom. Cool, thanks.
Yeah, thank you.
And it was just like, the more I thought about it, it's like, yeah. When we did get in trouble, I would be like, yes, ma'am, I'm sorry.
Right.
And everybody, and like other people were like, what? Oh, but he was, you know. And so they would get in more trouble because they wouldn't just say like, I'm sorry. Yes, ma'am.
Right.
You know, like I did. And so it's like, that. I really appreciated that. That has... You know what? It also works with police officers. When you get pulled over...
Yeah, be very respectful.
I got off with warnings in Edmond, which Edmond is known, has a reputation of like, if you're a college kid, you get pulled over in Edmond, you're going to get a ticket. Everybody gets a ticket in Edmond.
Right.
A lot of college towns, I think, are like that, kind of have that reputation. Mm-hmm. I got pulled over several times in Edmond with a warning. And I think it was just because I was a yes officer, no officer. You know, just respectful. I'm not like sucking up to them.
Right.
Just being like... a regular, decent person.
Mm-hmm.
I do appreciate that.
Yeah, that goes a long way.
Mm-hmm. Also, they taught me how to behave at the table. And manners at the table, now that I've become a father, it just, like...
is a big deal.
It's a big deal. I don't like it.
I think we talked about that in an episode recently.
Oh, maybe yesterday. Did we talk about it yesterday?
No.
No, but we did talk about it recently.
Mm-hmm.
You're right.
Yeah. One thing that I'm really appreciative of is my dad said, don't ever start a fight, but if you get in one, make sure you hit him in the nose.
Nice.
That came in handy a couple times. Because he said, you know, I don't ever want you starting a fight, but I don't, you know, you got to stand up for yourself.
Uh-huh.
And the quickest way to stop a fight. Now, this would never work in today's world because everybody knows MMA. Like, everybody knows, like, mixed martial arts. And
no, they don't.
A lot of people do.
Many, well, yeah, but like...
But
just even if you somebody, watch, like, even if you watch a lot of MMA, there's
a huge difference,
a massive chasm between. You can watch all of it you want, but if you've never fought anybody, you're going to lose.
Of course, yeah. But the quickest way to stop it, and here's why he told me this. It's the quickest way to stop the fight.
Uh-huh.
Because you hit somebody in the nose, their eyes start watering, they can't see very well, it hurts really bad.
Right.
That was kind of a tongue-in-cheek thing, but it also was actually really mm-hmm. appreciative about that.
Also immediately follow it up with something else.
Yes, a kick to the knee
mm-hmm.
or to the shin. No, I'm just joking. Right. One thing that I was...
Sweep the leg.
Sweep the leg. Sweep the leg. One thing I really do appreciate my mom teaching me that I've used, and I thought it was really lame at first,
yeah.
Is kill them with kindness.
Mm.
It's very hard for somebody to be mean to you when you were just constantly nice to them. And, you know, that's kind of a really good evangelization tool as well. You know, like if you're just always nice to somebody and just always trying to give them the benefit of the doubt and just always trying to... see their side of it and always trying to be a servant to them.
Uh-huh.
It's really hard for them to be mean to you for a long time. Mm-hmm. Like they could be mean to you for a month or yeah. so. But it's pretty tough to do that. I mean, you have to be vigilant about being mean to somebody.
Yeah, I think you should kill them with kindness and up until the point where you need to punch them in the nose.
This is perfect.
You know, it's like there comes a point when it just switches.
Yeah.
That's one thing they say about the difference between like a Easterner, like someone from New York mm-hmm. versus a Southerner. Mm-hmm. Is that, you know, the New Yorker, they'll be mean to your face, you mm-hmm. know, they'll tell you what they think about you, you know, whereas a Southerner will be incredibly polite to you mm-hmm. right up until the point where he kills you. You cross a line mm-hmm. and now I've got to kill you. And now I'm going to shoot you, you know, mm-hmm. because you crossed a line.
Yeah.
And that's just the way we roll.
Another one that my dad.
I would not kill somebody, but.
Yeah, that was a very broad brush.
I didn't mean to say we.
Yeah. Yeah. Another one that I really appreciate from my dad was don't complain.
Mm.
I mean, he really instilled in me, like, listen, no one cares.
Yeah.
Like, and it's not going to make anything better.
Right. I tell that to my son a lot. He hasn't figured it out yet. I'm like, well, look.
Maybe when he turns two.
David Jr., he is two.
Oh, maybe when he turns three. I'm sorry.
But he's like, he's two.
It's like, time.
It's time to figure. I tell him this. I say, Davey, don't whine. A man doesn't whine.
Right. He doesn't even understand.
He keeps whining.
I know. But I do think, you know, it's just, it's just like men don't complain. Like life is hard.
Right.
By complaining, you're not going to improve the situation at all. You mm-hmm. may actually bring somebody else down, you know, and bring them down to your level.
Right.
Don't complain. No one wants to hear it.
I don't want to hear it.
Those are some things that I really appreciate from my parents, for sure.
Like, if you need help, you can ask for help.
Mm-hmm.
But don't whine. Don't complain.
Yeah. A book that you think every young adult should read to grow closer to our Lord, besides the Bible.
Yeah, of course, besides the Bible. I mean,
right.
Obviously, it's the Bible.
Right.
Young adult?
Mm-hmm.
Hmm, that's a good question. I talk about this book a lot. I really liked the book, Jesus and the Jewish Roots of the Eucharist. It's not like a super spiritual book, mm-hmm. but it explained so many things about the faith
mm-hmm.
that I didn't know. You know, I went to Catholic school, grade school, Catholic high school, and that book put so many awesome pieces together.
Yeah, I remember reading it. You know, we were in our 20s, and we were reading after college.
Right.
And we were like, why did no one tell us about this?
Super mad that, like, I've been Catholic for years, decades. Yeah. No one told me this. I was so mad.
Same with the fourth cup.
Well, the fourth cup is in there.
Right, I know, but I mean, it's like
the full version of the fourth cup is right in there.
It's crazy. Okay, a few more questions. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. I'm David Niles. Here with Adam Minahan, we got Juan on the buttons. Answering any and all of Adam's questions today. We're not answering your questions, only Adam's.
This is not open forum.
This is not an open forum. These are only Adam's questions. And I hope you walk away with good answers.
So far, I'm not.
Okay.
I'm just joking.
I'll try. You know what? I'll just try to do better.
Step up your game.
Okay, I'm ready.
Okay, so Jesus and Jewish Roots of the Eucharist is the one?
You know, like, I'm sure I could come up with a better answer than that off the top of my head. That is a great book that everyone should read.
I agree. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What about a non-religious book?
What about that?
Ooh, a non-religious book. I do not claim to be a well-read man. Okay, I have read some books.
I've read books.
The last few years, I've read a lot more. Mm-hmm. I think my favorite book that I've read is Gone with the Wind.
Nice.
Very long book. Mm-hmm. Very good.
Nice. But for a young adult?
No, I'm just saying it's the best book I've read.
But that wasn't that wasn't the question.
Oh, I was asking
young
asking
adult.
Your
a young
question
adult could read it.
For a young adult.
Yeah.
But I mean, non-religious.
I mean, if you're like 12, I wouldn't read it.
Right.
I mean, it's not going to offend you.
You just won't get it.
Well, I'm not sure a 12-year-old could read it. Depends on the 12-year-old. But yeah, if you're like in your 20s, excellent mm-hmm. book. If you like to read, read it.
I think that one would be Screwtape Letters.
Uh-huh.
I think that's a really good one, especially for somebody who is just really trying, you know, getting into their faith, understanding like spiritual warfare, understanding, like, mm-hmm. you know, how grace works in your life and how the devil is constantly trying to
just incredible precision insight.
Yeah. I think that's a really good one. And uh-huh. it's fun to read, you know,
and short.
It's short,
very
fun to
readable.
Read. I think one that's not.
You can take the chapters really easily. Because the chapters aren't long.
Correct. Yeah. I think one that's not fun, like not necessarily fun to read, but more of an instruction manual for kids or young adults is Way of Mental Prayer by Lady. Mm-hmm. Like that book lays out how to, like step by step, how to pray, have mental prayer and contemplation. And when I read that for the first time, I was like, no one has told me anything about this.
It's a good thing someone wrote a book about it.
Right. So I think that would be beneficial.
Totally.
Okay. So what's one Catholic tradition that you wish would be brought back? Now, I'll go first to give you a second.
Okay.
So I think I would really like to have Ember Days brought back.
Mm, yeah.
You know, Ember Days are days of fasting. We did an episode on that a long time ago.
Fasting.
Wednesday, Friday, Saturday. And it was for the priests. You know, you were sacrificing for your priests.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that.
And I think that...
Four times a year you'd do it.
One for each season. And I think that we need to bring that back. I think our priests need our prayers. I think that totally. You know, some of the things... I just think it would be beneficial for... the economy of graces, you know, for the body of Christ, if we had designated times where, as the body of Christ, we all sacrificed and prayed for our priests.
We should start a day of fasting and abstinence for men who do podcasts for men, Catholic podcasts for men.
That'd be great.
That's a great idea.
A minimum, they have to be doing it since 2016.
Sure.
I just want all of it.
You just want to exclude everybody? Us, Matt Frad, and Catholic stuff you should know.
What's one that you wish would come back?
I'm going to say the altar rail. I know that the altar rail is still used, but not really.
Right.
I mean, there are some parishes who do it, but I would love to see the altar rail brought back. I just think that if the Eucharist is the source and summit of our faith, which it is, we should be treating it that way, right? Like, mm-hmm. Communion is such a casual affair so often, right? Mm-hmm. You walk up, you're like, yeah, whatever, give me the cookie.
Mm-hmm.
Just so many people are like that. And body language is a teacher, right? So if you have to kneel to receive Holy Communion, that you cannot help but be instructed by that, right? Non-Catholics would be a witness to non-Catholics, like, wow, you guys are really serious about this Holy Communion thing, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. what's up with that?
I mean, that's the reason why when Protestants walk into beautiful churches and they realize there's something different here.
Right. And I think that,
reverence.
You know, what is it like 20-25% of Catholics believe in the real presence?
Oh, I don't know. I think the last I saw it was like 50%, but maybe.
No, I think it's about a quarter of them when surveyed actually believe in the real presence of the Eucharist. I think that if we were using altar rails, I think that alone would have made it, if we had kept using them, mm-hmm. I think that alone would make a big difference in the belief in the real presence.
I don't disagree. I mean, yeah. I love Ultra Rails. Yeah. In fact,
so that's what I would want to bring back, the Ultra Rail.
What do you think our church is going to look like in 500 years?
I hope it doesn't exist.
I want him to come back. The church is going to still exist.
Yeah, but not the church militant.
Right. So you think you just hope Jesus just comes back with
him? I want him to come back today. I'm ready.
Yeah, I mean, me too.
Jesus, please.
I mean, I'm good with that too.
What are you waiting for?
But otherwise,
I think it will look very similar to what it looks like now. And like, I know that there's like this idea of like the glory days of the church, and the church certainly, like all things, ebbs and flows. All things are like seem to operate in a cycle. Mm-hmm. You know, let's just look at the country of France as an example. They like oscillate between cranking out some of the best saints of all time, and then like
some of the worst philosophers of all time.
Worst philosophers with like revolution after revolution, guillotining half the country. You know, mm-hmm. like, and then they go back, and then you know, like 50 years later, they're cranking out just some incredible saints again.
Mm-hmm.
The church is obviously does that too. You know, has periods where it's, you know, like has more influence in the world, less influence in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Abuses its influence in the world, strengthens its influence in the world. So I think it will look exactly that way if it's still around. It will still be led by the Holy Spirit.
Naturally.
And it will still have...
Or supernaturally.
Some of the worst people in it.
Mm-hmm.
Just like today.
Yeah. So mine would be with the caveat of like if it's still around, you know, if Jesus has not come back.
Which I hope he does.
I think it will actually look a lot different.
Okay.
I think that it'll be completely flourishing.
In 500 years?
Yep.
Okay.
I think that the blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church. I think that Jesus prayed that we would all be one. He clearly wills that, desires that. I think that that will happen. He wants it to happen. He's praying for it. He prays for it to happen. I think it will happen at some point. And so if we have not completely blown each other up, or we have not fallen into just...
Ruling out the ice capes melting.
Right.
Meteors becoming crashed into us and the ozone layer leaving.
Right.
We're definitely going to blow ourselves up.
Yeah. Outside of all those. I think it'll be a flourishing church because I think it will have shrunk so much. And it'll have gotten to the time where...
So many of us will have been martyred that it will start to flourish.
Or just not martyred, but maybe just left.
Right.
Like, just been apathetic to the church.
Although, like, it makes I'm not at all an expert on this, but it does seem like at the end times, the church will be, like, falling apart.
Right, yeah. And I'm saying, like, I don't think that would be that time. Like, I think if Christ does not come back soon, I think we'll have one more rally.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think we'll have one more where everything is going really well. We'll all come together. We'll figure out, you know... Our differences between the Eastern Church and Orthodox Church and the Catholic Church and Protestantism will be basically no longer.
Mm-hmm.
And then maybe we'll get too powerful and that'll be an issue again.
Well, you know, if you look at like the major covenants, there's approximately 2,000 years between each one of them.
Right, I know this.
The last major covenant was about 2,000 years ago.
I know. That's what I'm saying. I'm just hypothetical. I'm saying like that.
Here in about 10 years, maybe like definitely go to confession more often.
Or just right now. Just go to confession more
often.
Right
now. No, I would wait. I'd put it off.
What's the coolest miracle or Catholic miracle?
Favorite Catholic miracle?
Mm-hmm.
Dude, they're all awesome.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
the resurrection, right?
Right. Well, yeah, exactly. The resurrection, obviously. I mean, it's harder to beat Fatima. The dancing of the sun, because everybody saw it, you know.
Right.
I like all the Eucharistic miracles.
Yeah.
I like the ones that are super public.
Yeah.
Because
like, Januarius, like where the blood, it liquefies, the blood liquefies.
Right,
It's still happening.
It still happens sometimes, yeah.
Right. That's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
The blood liquefies in front of everybody.
Like on...
I think it's like January 17th.
On the feast day, right.
St. Januarius.
Mm-hmm. That is crazy.
That may not be the right feast day, but...
Whatever it is.
Whatever it is. I mean, that's pretty crazy.
Mm-hmm. I like the incorrupt saints.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, so here's something that I think is weird about the incorrupt saints. That we put wax on them.
It's an Italian thing.
I don't get it.
It's only the Italians that do that. It's part of their, like, they like to make things beautiful. It's like, especially an old, kind of an older thing that, because they're dead, right? They look, a lot of the incorrupt saints, they look very dead.
Because they are.
Because they are. You know, they don't look, they're not like Saint Bernadette, who still look like they might be, she looks like she might just be asleep.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she's like,
I've never seen her other than in pictures. So.
She's like the benchmark of incorrupt saints. But a lot of them look very dead. And so they cover them in wax to make them look prettier. But it doesn't. It looks terrible. That's what I think, too. It's like, would you take that stupid wax off of them? It's a miracle. They don't need the wax.
Right. And they're not worried about their vanity.
No. So.
Okay, so we're running out of time on Catholic Radio. Go to thecatholicmanshow.com. There's a couple more questions I want to ask you. I want to ask you, what's the one historical mystery that you want to know about? And then also your favorite Catholic order, religious
Sweet.
Order.
Sweet.
So go check us out on thecatholicmanshow.com. We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.
And cheers to Jesus.
Cheers. So yeah, what's one thing that just is a historical thing that you really wish that you knew? Like,
yeah, when
how
you
that
said
work?
Mystery, I wasn't sure. Do you mean like mystery of the rosary, or you just mean like
even how did Stonehenge work?
Dude, want to know about. You don't even know
like,
about.
Like, how did they do the pyramids?
Juan and I both want to know about Stonehenge. Did you know they just discovered something new about Stonehenge?
Yes.
No.
Just the other day, what was it?
I sent it to you.
Yeah, I know you did. They found stuff buried not too far, like right in the area, like a little cave or something that was been like covered over with dirt. And it's like brand new discovery.
Wow. You mean we haven't explored all around there?
Right. It's like you guys didn't scan the dirt?
Right.
With your scanners?
Right.
Come on, guys.
We can like see through our bodies.
Right. You didn't even think about scanning the dirt. I thought we had scanned everything by now.
Right. Yeah. Or like, how did the dinosaurs die?
Yeah.
You know, like,
God killed them. End of the story.
End of the story.
Except for some of them.
Crocodiles,
sharks. Sharks are the oldest species in existence. Sharks way predate the dinosaurs. Mm. Like the dinosaur age was actually, it's like there are several dinosaur ages.
Right.
But there were several, many, 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 many ages before the dinosaurs. The sharks are way older. Perfect killers.
Just punch it in the nose if it tried to attack me.
Perfect. Yeah. I would punch that shark in the face.
Yeah. And then swim away.
Swim away. Swim away from me.
I'm very curious about the pyramids. I've always been fascinated
how do they do it?
How do they do it? Why can we not?
Dude, I can tell you. Aliens.
Yeah. Why can we not replicate it today? Mm. It's
well, we could, but not without the modern machinery.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, we could build a pyramid.
Not the way they did.
That's what I'm saying. We have cranes. We have like machinery
right.
that can do it. But yeah,
oh,
not,
I'm sorry.
Not without modern machinery.
Yeah.
Right. And the, like
Juan, I can hear you breathing.
Like
sorry.
There's a lot, like I said, aliens. And right. it's now it's like reminding me back when we were on that ancient aliens kick.
Yeah.
Like everybody like every millennial in America probably binged watched Ancient Aliens. Like the first right. four seasons were so awesome.
Right.
But there were several things in that show. It's like, yeah, how did they do that? Like, there's that big wall in China. Not the Wall of China, but it was...
Are you talking about the Wall of China?
Yeah, like the great wall? Yeah, it's a pretty great wall.
We can see it from the
from
the moon.
Right, yeah. No, but there was this other one that was made of these massively tall rocks that were like thousands of tons, hundreds of thousands of tons or something, right? Big, huge rocks. That they figured out were like stood up and then fused together. They found like, oh, look, they were somehow melted together. And they determined that like the temperature you'd need to do that is
like crazy plasma.
It's super, yeah, super ridiculous. Like we could probably do it today, mm-hmm. but it would be
a lot of energy.
Be really, really hard.
Right.
Aliens.
Aliens. I also want to know, like, about the, like, space.
Yeah.
I don't really, I actually don't have this fascination with aliens like a lot of people do.
Dude, but what about all, like, the declassified videos lately?
Yeah, I don't care.
Have, like, you seen any of them?
I have seen one of them. But I have, like, very little interest in it. Doesn't really, like, does not affect me. I don't care. It doesn't interest me.
Hmm. Maybe you are an alien. Yeah.
Don't really care about that.
I'm a Catholic alien.
But I would like to know, like, how big is everything? You know, like, just, like, how big are we talking? You know, what else is out there?
Yeah.
I don't care about, like, actually life forms, like, because that isn't, again, that isn't really...
Yeah, I also don't really get too jazzed about, like, hey, we found, like, microorganisms on right. this asteroid. It's like, yeah, whatever, I don't care.
Right.
That's, really, that's great.
I know that's,
there's somebody
that's
out
great
there,
for other
like, yeah, the yeah. scientists who, like, freak out about it. It's like, I'm glad you're excited. And, like, right. if you can...
Because we need you to be...
If you can, like, figure something out or, like,
yeah.
make some breakthrough, like, sweet, that's great for you. You should be rich. You mm-hmm. should, you know, like, you should get rich on that. But, like, I'm not going to do it.
Right.
It's not my thing.
Yeah.
There's a lot of stuff that I would like to know. I do actually really want to know about Stonehenge. Like, what's the deal with that?
Yeah.
What's up? Like,
what's the purpose of that?
Because there's no rocks. Like, those rocks, they didn't come from that area.
Right.
And stuff. And they're ridiculously big and heavy.
And placed really well.
Like, out in the middle of nowhere.
Right.
In this weird thing. Yeah. And, like, they're still, they were placed, done, built so well that they're still standing.
Mm-hmm.
What's up with that?
What's up with that?
Right. There's just many things like that that I have that I cannot think of right now, but where I have, like, just gotten angry about, like, what's up with that?
Yeah. But, how does that work?
Why do we not know?
Yeah. I also would like to just go back into time and be able to record or understand the idea of a true monarchy. Like go back to, like, King Louis the Ninth's monarchy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and understand, like, how did that work politically? Like, how do we have a king that is a canonized saint who ran a Catholic monarchy and did it well without it being corrupt? You know, how did that work?
A lot of virtue.
Yeah, with a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
And then also I want to know about John the 22nd. I want to know about that dude.
Yeah.
I don't know.
John Paul I.
Yeah, what happened with him?
Yeah.
Why did he die 30 days after being...
Yeah, what's up with that?
Yeah.
I'd like to know about that.
I would like to know about that as well.
I would like to just...
I also want to know, how deep are the Masons really? Mm. Like, I'm not getting conspiracy...
Like today or like at the... like.
Yeah, even today.
At their peak.
Like, I'd be curious at their peak, but even today, like, because... people still blame, like, the Masons for a lot of things. And it's like, I don't know. Maybe they have this, like, power that I... because I'm just, like, a regular old dude that I don't know about.
Right.
But
maybe today is their peak. And we just don't know it.
Could be.
Yeah. And so I don't know. But...
like, I feel like it's not. I don't know any Masons that I know of. Oh, that I know of. I mean, they're still around.
I know a lot of Masons.
I mean, they run that... hospital.
Yeah, so I'd be curious about that as well.
Yeah, that would not be the thing that I would be most curious about.
No, me either, but like that's more of a like I would like to have a some kind of apparatus to tell me how things are happening right now.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
What's your favorite Catholic order? Religious order?
The Benedictines.
The Benedictines.
Yeah, not because I think they're necessarily the best, but they're the ones I have the most experience with,
mm-hmm.
and I really like them.
Mm-hmm.
They're also very accessible for me as a layperson, mm-hmm. right? I can, like the Carthusians, I think are awesome.
Yeah.
Okay? I can't relate. That's not my, it's so far away from my vocation.
So removed.
Right? That it's hard for me to relate to. That type of radical living, I think it's incredible, right? Mm-hmm. But the Benedictine style, that whole idea of work, pray and work, is very accessible. The rule of Saint Benedict as a father, I can really glean a lot from. So, I know that there's a lot of incorrupt saints who were Carthusians, though. They were doing some the Great Chartreuse, which is like the mother house of all the Carthusians.
They're excavating.
Yeah, in the book "The Power of Silence" by Cardinal
Sarah,
he talks about that in one of the interviews. That they were doing a construction project. They didn't know that people were buried out there because also like they don't mark graves. Well, I think they might mark it with like a cross or I don't know what they do, but they don't put the name on it, right? Well, I guess there were some who buried where they didn't even mark that there was. So they started digging up all these bodies that were incorrupt.
Incorrupt.
Yeah, it's like, okay, cancel the project. We cannot build over here, you know.
Right.
But like, and then the abbot at the time, or whatever they call the abbot, I don't know, said, well, that should be the result of religious life.
Do you think St. John chuckled as he was writing about the gospel, like him beating St. Peter to the tomb?
Totally. You know that that was like a old man joke, you know?
Yeah, like I want to know.
Because he was young compared to Peter, right?
But that was a inside joke with them.
I think so.
That was one of those inside jokes.
It's
totally
unnecessary. Like Peter ran, but the the apostle Jesus loved ran faster, and he won. He beat him there for the record.
Yeah, he gets there. Peter finally gets there, and he's like, St. John's like, I won. He's like, no one's ever gonna know. Who cares? He's like,
oh yeah,
everybody's going to know.
They're gonna know. I'm gonna make sure of it. There's several things in the Bible, you know, like when they write something in the Bible, and at the time, it's not like they had a typewriter or you know, like a Word document that they could just like,
they didn't have a DOS.
No, they did not even have DOS.
Yeah,
or typewriter.
Right.
I don't know why I started with typewriter, but everything that they say was very intentional, right? They had to really like limit what they're writing.
No mistakes.
Right. And like, sometimes they'll throw in these details and it's like, what? Why did you put, you know, like when they're at the guard, the soldiers come and take Jesus. And then all of a sudden there's this like naked man running away. And it's like, first of all, like people don't know exactly who it is. There's like some speculation. It's like, oh, it's Mark or it's John or whatever. Right. But it's like,
definitely not John.
It could have been John. I don't know. I mean, like, he could have ran and got clothes on and then come back. Okay.
Sure. I got to go change my clothes. Like,
right.
My clothes are muddy.
Maybe he was taking a bath and then saw, oh, Jesus is getting arrested. Like, I better go get my clothes. Too bad they're on the other side of camp, you know? Like, excuse me, guys.
I'll be right back.
Right. But he's like the original streaker or something, you know? It's just funny. There's stuff like that in the Bible where you're reading and you say, hang on a second.
Right.
You felt, what is it
you
that?
You felt compelled. The Holy Spirit felt compelled enough for you to write this.
And sometimes when you find out, it's like, oh, actually, I get why they put that in. That's very beautiful. Like, it's in the I think it's the Gospel of John where, you know, talking about the first time he met Jesus. And Jesus, like, you know, he said, maybe it's not John, but I think it is. Like, Rabbi, where are you sleeping? Where are you staying? And he says, come and see. Well, when he says that, he says, it was 3 o'clock in the afternoon. He's like, why does it matter?
At three o'clock
in the afternoon. And it's like, I think the general consensus is that this is an important moment. This is the first time he met Jesus. He met Christ. You know, so it's like, that was the moment. That was the hour his life changed when, you know, Christ entered into his life. And so it's like, for him, it was so important. It was 3 o'clock. I remember it specifically, you know. Mm-hmm. It does make the hour important. So sometimes there's these weird things at first that are
obscure,
weird to mention. Right. You went out of your way to mention that. And then, like, when you find out, it's like, okay, I dig it.
Mm-hmm.
But then other times, it's like, I don't get it.
Yeah.
But even then, when they're talking about the times in the Bible, it's like, hold on. Like, you didn't have a watch. There wasn't, like, a system. The solar watch wasn't invented yet.
Right.
So it's like, how do they know it was that time of the hour? I always confuse that. That's a mystery I would like to know.
Yeah, and is it daylight savings time?
Yeah.
Let's get rid of it.
I also would be pro getting rid of daylight savings time. Or just always falling back.
Right. 10 years from now, it'll be like...
Midnight
and...
It's 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
Bright.
Yeah.
All right, I'm done.
Did we ask all the questions?
It was close enough.
Well, so what's your favorite order? You have to answer it.
Oh, yeah. The Dominican order. Like, yeah. That's my favorite. This is the one I'm most attracted to. That's the one that, like, I think has really helped. I think it's the order for our times in the time that we live in currently.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I'm most drawn to.
Sweet. Benedictines have more saints. I'll just let you know that. I think Dominicans are number two, though.
Really?
I think so. Benedictines have the most because they're the oldest.
Right.
Well,
yeah.
They're not the oldest, but like mostly they are.
Hi, this is Bishop David Kondrla of the Diocese of Tulsa in Oklahoma. So let us pray. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to thy protection, implored thy help, or sought thy intercession was left unaided. Inspired with this confidence, I fly to thee, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To thee do I come. Before thee I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in thy mercy hear and answer me. Amen.